that each step we take, you do go before us.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you, Lord, that you are with us. You are there with your peace, with your strength, with your guidance, with your correction, with all that we need, Lord, to walk with you. Lord, I thank you for Brother Tom, for what you've done through him in these years. And Lord, I pray that you bless him, anoint him with your spirit this morning as he shared from his heart the things that you've given him. And I pray that you just continue to give him wisdom and direction and guidance in his life. Just pray, Lord, that you just be with those that aren't able to be here with us this morning, wherever they are, that you just watch over them and direct them and bless them and make them a blessing. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I greet you this morning in the name of our wonderful Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. I stand, I guess, here this morning with a lot of mixed emotions. I had thought that I didn't think this would really bother me a lot. But as most of you know, Lord willing, will be my final message as senior pastor here at Calvary Chapel. And I just have a lot of mixed emotions about that. And I just really trust that you will pray and ask the Lord to give grace for today. I want to want us to take our Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. The background of this passage is that the children of Israel have come through 40 years in the wilderness, and I don't know if that's any bearing at all, but I hope we haven't been in the wilderness for 40 years. But they've also had a lot of things that have happened, and they've had a lot of miracles that they've seen. They've went through a lot of different events and so on. The older generation was gone. Those that were 20 years and older are now gone, and except for Joshua and Caleb. And they'd already won a number of victories. They had already conquered the eastern side of the Jordan River. Some of the tribes were going to stay there and settle there. And so they had already had a number of victories. Remember, they had sent the spies to Jericho, and they had returned. And now was the time that they were going to cross the Jordan and go into the Promised Land. So I want to read Joshua chapter 3. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, "When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. And yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore, or this way before." And Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, "Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people." And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with them. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Ammonites, and the Jebusites. And behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the Lord, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, and is beside Zeratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until the people were passed clean over Jordan. Excuse me. We see here in this passage that the ark was central here to the children of Israel. This was the presence of God among them. And I noticed there that it said that the ark is the covenant of the Lord of all the earth. And so the presence of God he's the God of everyone, not just of the children of Israel, but of everyone. They had specific instructions here of the distance and God's leading. But I wanted to think of verse 4 there specifically. And that is that he told them, keep that space there. And he says that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way before. Now it says hitherto there, that really means before. You've not passed this way before. And I thought about that today, because we as a congregation, there's a sense that we've not passed this way before, in that we've changed senior pastors here in the congregation. And so this is a new experience, and it's one that statistics tell us can be a very difficult experience. It's one that churches and organizations find very difficult to do when a leader has been in place for a number of years. And so we might as well face it, there will be maybe some difficulties adjusting in some ways. But I want us to do everything we can to minimize those. I want us to do everything that we can to make a good and a smooth transition. I believe that if we are determined to let the Lord lead us and to let the Lord guide us, that it can be a good and a smooth transition. One thing we notice about the children of Israel, and that is that they went on to greater things. There was a transition there between Moses and Joshua. And I believe there was a little time in between there. I mean, they were together there for a while. I mean, Joshua was with Moses really from the beginning. But it seemed like there was a little bit of time there when they were both serving. But you have this transition happening there between Moses and Joshua. And it was successful because I believe that they followed the Lord and went on to greater things. You know, it's not really important whether I'm the leader or whether Dana's the leader. What's really important is that we follow the Lord. That's number one. And that's what is really necessary and important. Now, I want to look at three things here today. Three things that I think are necessary for us if we're going to be successful. These three things were necessary for the children of Israel in order for them to be successful in going across the Jordan River. Those three things were faith, courage, and obedience. I think we see those three things that were necessary for them to accomplish what they did. That was all done by the power of God and so on, but they had to do that. They had to have faith, they had to have courage, and they had to have obedience in their lives. Now, I want to go on and talk about those three for a few minutes. But before I do, I want to tell you why I chose this passage today. I have here in my hands a set of notes. And up in the corner, as my practice has always been, I put on the date and where it is. And this set of notes says 1-6-74 at the cabin. And this was the first message that I preached as our congregation, as Calvary Chapel. Preached from Joshua chapter 3. And these were my three main points that I had. Was that we need to, in the days ahead, have faith, we need to have courage, and we need to have obedience. And so, I guess what I'm doing is I'm doing a repeat. Is it alright if once in a while we do a repeat of a message? I guess 40 years isn't too long in between that, is it? And I've done that over the years with other messages. But I had to think about that, and I can remember standing there yet. We were at the cabin, and by the way, my notes say cabin for the first couple of months, and then sometime in March of that year, it started saying Calvary Chapel, so somewhere in there we gave it a name. But I still remember that morning standing there and thinking, what have we done? What are we going to do? Where is this going to go? And just having a really, I don't know, strange feeling, I guess, at that point. But I can only thank the Lord and give the Lord the praise for what has taken place over these years. Faith. We need faith, don't we? The children of Israel had faith that God was leading them. They had that faith. They had been through that 40 years, and they had seen many things happen. But even then, some that had seen all those things happen didn't really have faith. But if they were going to be successful, they were needed to have real faith. I'd like for us to turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. And that's a familiar passage to us, but it's also a passage that reminds us of what faith really is. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." We don't understand how all the world was made, and I know there's a big lot of debate about evolution and creation and all of that. But it says we take by faith what God did. We take it and believe it by faith. And then he gets over into verse 6. And he says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You know, it's easy to look back and see how God has led. And it's good for us to do that. But we as a congregation need to have faith that God is continuing to lead us. I see how God has led through these years and how that God has led through just this whole time of transition and so on. But we need to not only see that, but we need to believe that God is continuing to lead us as a church. And I have faith that God has greater things for us and is going to help this transition to be a real blessing to the church and to the Lord Himself. And so we need to have faith. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Not faith in man, but faith in our Lord is so important for us. Secondly, we need to have courage. It takes courage to put our faith into practice. You know, it would have been easy for the children of Israel to say, you know, let's just stay here. We've conquered this land. This is good enough. And it's safe over here. Our enemies have been conquered and over across on the other side of the Jordan. There's a lot of enemies over there, and probably a lot stronger than the ones we faced here. And it would have been easy for them. They were in a place of safety and so on. But they didn't do that. They had the courage to move ahead. You know, we often say, and we often hear this expression, you know, we live in uncertain times. You agree with that? We live in uncertain times. I thought it'd be interesting just to do a little research, and some of these things I remember and some I didn't. But some of the things that took place in 1974. Because I know we made the same statement then. We live in uncertain times. Who was president in 1974? Richard Nixon. In January, it was right into the thing of Watergate. He'd already served one term, and he was into his second term. And Watergate was going on at that time. The energy crisis was really going on. And they had put a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit on to try to save fuel. We were running out of oil. Israel had just fought a war over in the Middle East at the end of 1973. And the Arab countries had put an embargo. They would not sell any oil to the U.S. And oil and gasoline were skyrocketing. We were now up to 55 cents a gallon. Just to show you how good a prophet I am, I made the statement at that time because rumors were that it was going to go up to a dollar. And I said that if gasoline goes up to a dollar, we'll all quit driving. Gold was skyrocketing. In January, it was $121, and by the end of the year, it was close to $200, almost doubled. On April the 3rd, 148 tornadoes went through 12 states and killed over 300 people. Times were uncertain then, too, weren't they? The World Trade Center opened. Now that's gone. The vice president resigned because of corruption, and soon the president resigned. It was a time of turmoil, a time of uncertainty, and it was just like today, pretty much just like today. A lot of racial strife going on at that time. You know, it always takes courage to make changes. We don't like changes. Most people don't. We get comfortable with where we're at. At least we know what's happening. Even if things are difficult, you know, at least that's better than the unknown. And so we really don't like to make changes. But I believe that change is going to happen. We all know it does. And so it takes courage to face the future. And we can do this because we know who's in charge. We know that God's in charge. And we know that He has an ultimate plan for us. And we thank the Lord for that. Number three is obedience. And that's something else that is necessary for us. God gave specific instructions to the children of Israel about how to go across the Jordan River. And they needed to follow those. If they would have said that, no, we're not, that doesn't mean anything, I don't think that really is necessary, they'd have never made it across. They wouldn't have been successful. And you know, God still wants obedience from us today. He's given us His Word. He's told us, and He's blessed us with His Word. And He still wants us to obey His Word today. Now, I realize that many people don't see it that way. Actually, it was one of the major reasons that Calvary Chapel started. It was because it was being taught that the Bible only contains the Word of God. It's not really all the Word of God, and we have to kind of pick and choose which is. And so we need to realize that if we're going to be successful, and if we're going to grow, and we're going to continually change to what the Lord wants us, then we're going to need to be obedient to the Lord. There's a lot of things we could say about all of that. Now, I'd like to take the remainder of the time, and I'd like to talk to you as a congregation. Because I think there's a number of things that I need to say here today. You know, as I said, the transition can be difficult. It doesn't need to be if we can really work together and do it. The Lord has worked among us and chosen Brother Dana to take my place as senior pastor and bishop. And I have a lot of love and respect for Dana and Gina and their family. And I just have all the confidence that the Lord is going to bless them and really use them for this. I believe it's important that I clarify, and so that you know what my place is after next Sunday. I don't think it would be healthy to kind of leave that hanging. And I think it's important that everyone understands what my place is. What, you know, because I've had people ask me, well, what are you going to be doing? And how's this going to affect you? And so on. And so, I want to attempt to do that here today. After next Sunday, Dana will be fully in charge as senior pastor and bishop. I want us all to realize that. I will be available for counsel, and I'll serve where I'm asked, if I can. But Dana will be in charge. I will no longer be a member of the ministry team. And that's something that people have wondered about. And that's probably the hardest part in all of this. Because I have learned to just love our team. And I have enjoyed immensely serving with the team that we have. It's just been the camaraderie of the group. And talking together and visiting together and so on. And so that part is really, really hard and difficult. I've learned to really love these guys that I serve with. And I want to give the reasons why for that. I've done a lot of praying and thinking and meditating, and I've talked with the team and we've done a lot of discussing about it and trying to understand, you know, what is the best thing to do. And I've talked to other ministers that have retired and so on and tried to get some counsel. But really feel like the best thing to do is for me not to be a member of the team. Old habits die hard. We all know that, don't we? Old habits die hard. A little coarser way of putting it is you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But we get into habits and so on. The team has been in the habit of looking to me for leadership. And you know, if I'm there, I think it would be easy for that to continue. I think it would be easy for that to, well, Tom, what do you think? And like I said, I'm available for counsel and so on, but I really think the team needs to learn to work together, as a team and so on. Dana needs to be able to be, and I use this expression, kind of be his own man. And not feel like that he's, well, I don't know if Tom would like this, and that type of thing. I think it's important for the team to operate as a team. I believe that Dana needs to develop a working relationship with the team, and that is he needs to go to them for work out a problem, and they need to work together at it, and not depend on me. Another thing is, I believe that it frees up the rest of the team to give them their, so that they can give their loyalty and support to Dana. It frees up the rest of the team to be able to do that. So, like I say, I just tried to give a lot of thought and we just tried to do a lot of talking about this. And what would be the best for the team and for the church, in my responsibilities after next Sunday. And so, I hope that helps clarify why that we came to that decision. And I want to say that it's my decision. I felt no pressure. I didn't feel anything that you had to do this and that type of thing. But I really feel like that this is the best decision to make. Now, I'd like to say some more things specifically to you as a congregation. And that is that it's going to be important for you to look to Dana as your senior pastor, bishop. It's important for you to do that. It's important for all of us to make that transition in our minds. I appreciate all the love and respect and honor that you've given to Marjorie and I. I really appreciate that. When I talk about me, I'm including Marjorie with this too. And when I'm talking about Dana, I'm talking about Dana and Regina. You know, I've often said we don't ordain women, but they're a very important part of the ministry. And that's one thing I've enjoyed in our minister team meetings is our wives are present, and it's just really added something, I believe, to the team. And so I appreciate all that. But now give that to Dana and show him respect and honor and love and so on. There's no doubt that Dana would do some things different than what I have. And that's okay. You need to realize that we're two different people. And he's going to do some things differently. Just accept that. Realize that. That not everything will be done exactly like it was. I wouldn't be surprised he might even make a few mistakes. I've sure made mine over the years. I look back at some of those and I think, how could have I ever done that? And, you know, but have patience with that. Realize that we're all human. And realize that we all, sometimes in, as we look back, we realize, well, I could have done that better. I could have done that differently. Give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, I've learned that not always everything is visible. Not always everything is like what we think it looks like. There's oftentimes you get into situations where you can't always say everything that you know. And those in the ministry understand that. But build a trust and learn to trust those times. Questions that normally you would bring to me, take to Dana and the team. And you are not being disloyal when you do that. Actually, the biggest gift that you can give us is to accept this transition and work together. That's the biggest gift that you can give to us, is to accept the transition and really work together. Actually, our reason for the theme for this year was for this very time, this whole theme of working together and building together, because it is so important. If you notice on the bulletin, there's that theme there this morning. Be at peace among yourselves. And that is one of the important things that is necessary for this. I will be under Dana's authority and leadership just like everyone else. And I'm not going to have some different place in the congregation, but I will be under that leadership and authority like everyone else. Also, I might say that Dana and Regina have a young family. They had to think about when 40 years ago that our children were young. And it takes time with children. They need to have time. Their children are normal children. And sometimes PKs, preacher's kids, are sometimes expected to, there's got an extra halo on top of their head or something. And that's usually not the case. And so have patience and realize that their children are like other children. And they need to learn and so on too. Give them time for their family. And this responsibility is not a full-time responsibility. It's something that Dana still makes his own living. And he needs to do that. And so it's not like a pastor is full time and able to devote all their time to the congregation. And so maybe things don't always get done just as quick as what we'd like to think. And it really helps when there's a team, and that's a big, tremendous help. But have patience with that. Just a couple of details here yet. And that is that Dana has asked Marjorie to keep on doing the bulletins for the present. And so that will, Marjorie will continue doing that at this time. And then also on the front of the bulletin, here for a couple of months or so, my name will still be down there at the bottom and that's because bulletins were ordered earlier, and I think the present order goes to like to the end of June or something like that, and then it should change. So if you see that on the bulletin, don't think that I mean, that's not something we put on every week. That's something that comes from the place where we get the bulletins, and so that is going to take a little time to change there. I'd like to close with just saying thank you. I want to say thank you, first of all, to our Lord for these 40 years and for how the Lord has led and helped us, for His grace and mercy and kindness. And that's where my first thanks go to. Also say thank you to my wife, Marjorie. She has stood by me, and I felt like she has done an excellent job as a pastor's wife and been a tremendous help to the ministry. I'd like to say thank you to our children. And our children were very young when we started, but our children and their families. And our children have always been very supportive of the ministry. And they had to take over when we had to be gone and when we had things that had to be done and so on. And I don't recall of them ever complaining about that. And I just say thank you to Lisa and Leon and their families for all the help over the years. I'd like to say especially thank you to Brother Harold. Harold and I have served together since, I think it's 1978. And we've had a lot of experiences together and spent a lot of time together. And I just say thank you to Brother Harold for just for the privilege of being able to work together with him. I say also thank you to the team and for the privilege of working with you. And it's been as I said earlier, been a real joy to be able to have the privilege of serving with you. And then I want to say thank you to all of you. You know, I could go through and I could start naming names. And I know I'd miss someone. But I just want to say thank you to all of you. You've meant so much to us. And we're looking forward to just being here and being a part of the congregation and worshiping together. And sometimes ministers, when they step down, they leave and go someplace else for a while and that type of thing. I really want it to be a blessing to the church. So, you know, we can help wherever we can. But I really didn't like the idea of leaving our church family. And it's you're our family. But thank you. Thank you so much for just for all that you have done for us. You have treated us so well and been such a blessing into our lives. And I just say thank you for that. But one other thing I'd like to do yet, I'd like to close in the same way that our first service closed. And that is, at the bottom of my notes, I wrote down where we sang that song together, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. And I think that's on page 496 in our church hymnal. And I would like for us just to stand. And Tony, would you lead us? Would you lead us in that song, 496? And just sing it together, and then I'll have a closing prayer.
Shepherd, lead us, much we need thy tenderest care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our disciples prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us. Be thou guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us. Seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us. When we pray, blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us. When we pray, who has promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, we will ever return to thee. Blessed Jesus, we will early turn to thee. Early let us seek thy favor. Early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us.
So we pray. Our loving Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus. I thank you, Heavenly Father. I thank you so much that you have led us. You've led us through these 40 years. And Lord, I just want to say thank you. And Father, I just pray for us as a congregation as we look to the future. The Lord, you will continue to lead us there too. None of us know what the future is, but Lord, you do. And we thank you that you will lead us through that. Father, I just pray your blessing upon the congregation. And Lord, I pray your blessing upon Brother Dana and Gina as they take over these responsibilities. Oh God, I just pray that you would use them, help them, lead them. And just for the team, Lord, for each one. Oh God, I just pray that you would help us. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, dominion, power, majesty, both now and forever. Amen. Just give us time to get to the back.